Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Today we have a dear friend, colleague, longtime athletic trainer that we've known for decades. Excited to have him. David Chaffin, Western Regional Sales Manager of Medco Sports Medicine. How are you doing today, Dave?
I'm doing excellent. Eli, how about yourself?
I'm just peachy. Almost had enough coffee, so I'm almost ready to go. Thanks for being on the podcast. I know we just hit you up recently about this, and being able to get you on so quickly is awesome. We've been talking about it for a while, so I'm happy we were able to coordinate this so quickly, especially with the time of year for you guys, because this is a crazy time of year.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. I've listened to quite a few of what you've done so far. You're doing a great job, and I'm honored to be on here. But yeah, this time of year, it gets a little crazy with trade shows and meetings and sports medicine competitions and all the things that are going on, it seems like, every week. So I'm glad it all worked out.
Me too. And thank you for that little plug on the sports med competition. Appreciate it. We just had it this past weekend. We had well over 600 and I think it was 20 participants, 500 plus, I think it was 530, 540 that competed. And then we had a lot of students just coming in, checking it out. It was a fun day. And yeah, every year I sit there going, why do I do it? And then the day happens and it's fun. And yeah, students really like it. So
yeah, I was looking at some of the results and I remember being there in the very early days. So it's impressive what you've grown it to, for sure.
I appreciate it. Yeah, from 74 the first year to pre-registered, we were around 700 this year. So it's gone a long time.
Wow, good for you.
Thanks, man. But let's stop talking about me. Let's talk about you. The Dave Chaffin came out of Orange County. Give us a little bit about your history, how you got into athletic training, and how you got where you're at now.
Yeah, well, those of you that know Bill Chambers was a two-term NATA president. And if you go to FWADA, you'll know Bill. He's the one that wears the wild and crazy outfits and pants and boots and hats. And I don't even know where he shops or who shops for him or where he gets that stuff. But I took Bill's ROP class when I was a sophomore in high school. And I had a JV basketball coach who was taping my ankles. And I kind of got this kind of a cool gig and kind of started asking him what he did. He was a student trainer, athletic trainer for Bill back in those days. This goes back to like the mid-80s, I guess.
And he taught high school?
No, Bill was at Fullerton College.
He did an ROP
class two nights a week where it was the local high school. It was adults all ages, and he taught an ROP class on kind of care and prevention, and but you learned how to tape and stuff. So I took that class, and I was like, wow, this is really what I want to do. And again, those that know Bill, he's a pretty special human being just with his presentation and the way he puts it there. So kind of there was just no doubt that's what I wanted to do. And so that's kind of how I went that route. He tried to convince me. That was my sophomore year of high school. I went to Braille into high school. He tried to keep me home and start working right out of high school. I followed a girl down to San Diego State, could not get into their program. They were impacted, weren't going to take me in until my junior year. So I came back in the spring of the freshman year, kind of begging Bill to come back. So I finished my year at San Diego State, did my academics, came back my sophomore year, went to Cal State Fullerton. Back then, obviously, you did the internship route. So I did all my academics at Cal State Fullerton, did all my hours, all my training, everything under Bill at at Fullerton College for the remaining 3.5 years of my college career. That's kind of how I got the start. And then I ultimately ended up replacing Bill. I had some stops along the way. Ultimately ended up replacing Bill at Fullerton College as well.
So first off, wow, Bill Chambers as your mentor. That's amazing. And then to be able to step into his role when he steps down, I mean, 360, that's just incredible. Because if there's a person that everybody should know in the NATA, it's that name, Bill Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was pretty surreal. I mean, I was an athletic trainer for the Scottish Claymores in NFL Europe. So I was in Scotland, and this is back, truthfully, right when cell phones just came out. And I had one. That's how we communicated back to Birmingham, Alabama, over injured athletes. Somehow Bill got the phone number of me over in Scotland. And I won't repeat exactly what he said, but in so many words, it was get home. I'm leaving this job kind of thing. So I came home in the middle of June that year. Bill left. Bill went on a medical leave. And then I started at Fullerton College of August 1st of that year. I was there just shy of 10 years. Most people, you know, I got the job pretty young. Most people thought I would be there for 40, 50 years and retire. And I ended up transitioning out to the sales world, which we can get to down the road. But yeah, it was a full circle moment to go there and replace him. And you can imagine opening up cabinet doors and the things I found and seeing that Bill collected and was given to him. And
I bet it was eye-opening to open those cabinets at times, I'm sure.
Every time you did it, you kind of were like, what am I going to find in here? Yes. Yeah, it really was impressive, because there was back then there'd be a certain branded tape that Johnson & Johnson came out with or somebody. And of course, Bill, they'd always deliver a pile of it to Bill to have. And so there's just so much of everything. I think my first couple of years, I didn't even buy tape for a couple of years. There was that much stuff laying around there. So,
well, that's kind of ironic you say that. I didn't buy tape for that many years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially nowadays. That's very ironic. So you're sitting there community college level for 10 years. I didn't realize you were there for 10 years. What made you start thinking about getting out of that sought after position? I mean, those are like gold nowadays.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know that I did for quite a while. I really thought I was home, right? This was it. I enjoyed every aspect of it. And I was there kind of right in the transition when the numbers of athletes really started to grow. The staff was small. So there's two of us at Fullerton. Lisa Nelson was my partner. We were both 11-month employees. Basically, we're off the month of July is the way it worked out. And you could take some comp and vacation time around that. We were off about 6 weeks to 2 months every summer, which was great. However, you kind of came back to a hellstorm because you weren't seeing these athletes all summer long. Football's out there doing their thing. These things are all going on. And then you come back to kind of have to put out all these fires from summer, and then you go right into football. So it was a lot. And then I was also teaching. One of the other unique things with Bill was when he left, he goes, oh, by the way, I teach two courses here. I'm like, you teach? What do you teach? And he goes, oh, I teach care and prevention. I have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning class from 8 to 8:50 and a Thursday night class from 6 to 9. I was like, okay, I just got home from Europe, trying to figure this out. Now I have to teach college students. So I prepped for that. So I was teaching as well as the athletic trainer for two of us. It was quite a task with the number of athletes. So anyways, I was cruising along. And then I was just kind of like, I was just a little intrigued by making a little bit more money. I got married, had a baby, didn't really want my child to raised in daycare. And so Bruce Todd of Mueller, and I know you know Bruce well.
Of course, we all know Bruce. Great guy.
He was the Medco rep at the time, came by, took me to lunch. We kind of hit it off. They were looking to grow. And I was like, I'm not really sure I'm ready yet, Bruce. I mean, this is really my dream job. And then one thing after another, after another, after another. And I interviewed with the vice president of sales at Medco, and lo and behold, got hired and was leaving Fullerton College. So it was a shock to most, especially those that were in this Orange County community, because Bill had been there for 39 years. And I was, like I said, I was really young. I think I was 25 when I started there, maybe 26. So pretty big shock when I left it, just because of my age and how long Bill had been there. And like you said, those jobs don't turn over a lot in Southern California, the community college positions.
Yeah, when somebody gets those, they usually hang on until they're dragged out screaming.
Yeah, absolutely.
So understand that. Yeah, that probably was a big shock to some people, but you got to go where your mind and your heart tells you to go, right? And you went to Medco. And what ended up pulling you towards Medco at that point?
Truthfully, I had no intention of sales. I never saw myself doing anything other than athletic training. As you can relate, I started doing it as really a sophomore in high school, right? Yep. And that's all I knew and done all through college. I think I had 3,500 hours when I sat for my certification exam, get certified, go through all that. That's all I knew. I really had no other skill in my life than athletic training. But the fact that Medco only dealt with athletic trainers was kind of appealing, right? I really was walking the walk, talking the talk of someone like myself. That's the way I looked at it. I wasn't walking in trying to sell a Xerox machine that I know nothing about, that the person I'm talking to probably knows nothing about. So I'm walking in, talking product to somebody who, for the most part, knows everything. Sure, we go in and show new products. So it was a really comfortable space, right? I feel if there's anything, even today, 20 years later, I'm in athletic training rooms every single day all around the country. So it's real comfortable for me. That's where I think I'm best. So it was kind of a natural progression if I was to get out of the profession and walk away to really still have my foot into it all.
What kind of adjustments did you have going from the clinical athletic training setting into, well, transitioning really into sales and not just going to talk to your colleagues or friends or people you didn't really know either way to saying, hey, here's some product you'd be interested. What were some of the big adjustments for you?
Quite a bit, actually, because you think you know a lot of people. And when you sit down to schedule out a month of travel, you're like, wow, my circle is really limited. And it's really limited to Orange County. It's really limited to community college and on and on and on. Yep. So the nice thing is when I got into it, there was not a lot of reps like myself coming around to places. Some of the manufacturers, Kramer had reps, and some of the manufacturers had reps that would walk through. But really, that was it. Medco started that whole trend. Microbiomedics, you know, Jeff Nelson and some of that, but it was done differently. And so Medco was kind of the really first one that really had boots on the ground going into the high schools and going into the non-affluent places, as I call them. You know, everybody wants to walk into the Lakers and Dodgers, but the next level tier down. So most people were just gracious to have you, right? When you get on and get that contact, because they're like, whoa, you know, we always leave behind samples and bring a catalog or bring a sticker or something. And so everyone loves to have you in. So I found it was pretty easy to do. And part of my success would be I would go to if I go to Boise, Idaho, I'm going to go to Boise State first, talk to them, do my dog and pony show there. And then I would always ask them, hey, what's the top high schools around? Or, hey, do you guys have students working locally? And they'll give you 8 schools. Yeah, go to XYZ, John, Tom, Eli, all these people came through here. And that's kind of how the success I would have. So then I would go see Tom down the street and he'd be like, oh, Mark Paul's the greatest guy. So you just kind of started that way. And so usually in most cities, I couldn't spend enough days there because I would get so many referrals there. Or even you go to the high school, right? And oh, did you go see my friend down the street? She's at the Catholic school, blah blah blah. So then you know, so it really starts to steamroll. So my Rolodex goes from really small to really large quickly within a year. So that's kind of how, and I really, really enjoy going to the high school, the small people that don't have reps walking through every day, right? Because like I said, everybody goes, you know, living here in Southern California, everybody goes to the Ducks and Angels and Lakers and Dodgers and you know, beats them up. And those are great, great visits too. But I really enjoy going to the high school and Anaheim High School that's got a budget of $1,500 and he's trying to make it do with the same that the Dodgers that are spending hundreds of thousands. So I really enjoy the variety of who we get to call on daily, anything from high school to professional and everything in between.
Now, I heard you say two comments that gave me a little flashback. One was definitely your mentor, Mr. Chambers. You said this, you quoted Dog and Pony Show, and that's one of his comments for every convention. So I love that. And then you commented something we're going to have to discuss with the newer generation of athletic trainers. Exactly what a Rolodex is. Everybody probably went, well, is that a watch? Yeah. What are we talking here? And for those of you who don't know, that is a big list of people that you know, kind of like you have in your phone now. That was a piece of paper and it was literally flip cards mm-hmm. that was on a roll and you would flip over. And I hear you call Rolodex and I'm having a flashback, but I realize some people don't even know what that is anymore.
Yeah, I bet I have in my garage stacks of business cards that are, I can't even tell you because they, you know, I've got them rubber band together, but that's kind of my Rolodex, but it's probably hundreds deep. And I can't tell you how many stacks that I have banded together. And and that's, and really anymore, you don't even really exchange business cards. I mean, I have them on my table at a booth, right? But and somebody will take them, but they get your information off the website and things like that anyways. And so, some of these business cards now you can scan and it
yep.
automatically downloads information. Yep. So the Rolodex days are gone now, but I'll tell you what, my first couple of years, it was daunting how many business cards I would collect, you know,
and so, trying to keep track of them. And
yeah, and I tried to divide it by state, by county, yep. by level. And it was crazy to try and keep track of.
Still is, but now with the computer, you can type mm-hmm. in a little information in your phone, yep. jot yep. it up, have a yep. picture, jar yep. your memory. I love how you mentioned also going to the high school level and those schools that don't have quite as much. And I say it quite often, I know I'm very fortunate at the facility I'm at and have been for 27, 28 years. But I remember being at a rural high school and having basically nothing. Mm-hmm. And you have to create whatever you want. You have to get creative. I think probably one of my favorite creativity stories, I wanted a whirlpool. I needed a whirlpool. We had a, you know, for a heat illness, we needed it for injuries because we used it so much. And I was explaining it to somebody, and it was my second year at this little high school out in the middle of the forest. Literally, they pulled from 40 miles around to get 350 students. And the next day, somebody pulled in and said, "Hey, Eli, come with me." "Okay, sure, Radar." That was his nickname. And we went over to the feed store. He's like, "Is it something like that?" And he showed me a horse trough. He's yeah. like, "I can pick that up and we'll take it to your facility right now." And next thing I knew, I had a whirlpool. So you got to get creative. You never mm-hmm. know who's mm-hmm. going to be willing to help you find something that would work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you only have a budget of $1,500, you got to get really creative.
Yeah. 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 I mean, here's the opposite of that. I was in Seattle last week and high school, Seattle Children's Public High School. Their head football coach is a 14-year NFL veteran who basically had us come in and he wants this. Anyways, and he literally wants this athletic training room to look like, not like an NFL because of the space, but he thinks that it should be a place that they should be proud of.
It's nice to have those connections.
Yes.
That, understand what athletes need, what future patients need, mm-hmm. what a program needs to be taken mm-hmm. care of. Taking care of kids is just taking care of kids. Doesn't matter mm-hmm. how you get it done, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you've built a lot of relationships, and often that's the key to any profession. But as a healthcare professional and building these relationships, how has your experience influenced your approach?
Very much so. I mean, I think that's, like you said, that's the basis of how this works. And I try and treat everybody, whether again, it's the high school person with $1,200 or the Lakers with whatever dollars. Like I try and treat everybody the same. And I always try and make everything personable. Right. So I try and not just, "Thanks for your quote, I'll place the order." I try and get to know the person as much as you can. That's obviously very hard virtually or via email, but when I'm live, I always will get into, "Oh, where'd you go to school?" "Oh, God," in the 99% of time, there's a connection. And if I know somebody went there, this, that, or the other, or I'll see something in the facility that'll, could be an old product that they don't even know what it is. And we'll start the conversation. And so that's kind of how it is. I mean, my closest friends today are all former customers or our customers. You know, an example is my son's a freshman at University of Arizona. That's Medco's biggest customer. I've been going over there since my son's 3 and 4 years old. I have pictures of my son 3 and 4 years old in the weight room, bench pressing, being lifted up by basketball players, all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of come full circle that he's there. And he's also student manager on the volleyball team. So now he's behind the scenes in athletics and stuff. So it's kind of a real cool moment to and it gives me an excuse now to be in Tucson a little bit more to be a customer and visit my son. So,
yep, yep.
But that's kind of my point is like I vacationed with that staff. I've done stuff like those are friends, obviously a very valued customer, but friends. And that's kind of the way I look at it, right? I go to the CATA with, you know, where I saw you a couple weeks ago, and you and I aren't necessarily business partners, but I consider us good friends, and I'm doing
definitely
vice versa. And that's kind of, you go to those meetings and it's like seeing friends. And that's kind of what this business is all about. You know, you treat people with respect, with, you know, all the time, and you get it back. And that's kind of, you know, and I know if you needed me in a pinch, I would do whatever I could to support you and help you and vice versa. And that's
really 1000%.
That's really what you strive for, right? You can't win them all, and you're not going to win them all, but at some point the paths will cross that way. I've learned in this, I've been doing this long enough where, you know, somebody that doesn't buy from you at some point, that something will change and something, you know, will happen. And that's kind of what you hang on for.
Yep. And talking about friendship, we talk country music all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and one of the fun stories that my wife and I still talk about is we connected at a George Strait concert that one time down in San Diego.
Then
went out afterwards. And geez, we were out. I think we closed the place. Yeah. So, you know, I don't do that with many people, but it was fun to do. And it's always fun when we sit down and connect and BS at the bar at CATA or FWADA you know, I consider you a friend also. It's fun.
I've been known to frequent the bars at shows. That's, you know, usually if you can't find me, I'm probably in there entertaining somebody. So that's, you know.
It's a location to discuss business.
It is.
And get to know people. I tell a lot of my interns, I know you said not a lot of people use business cards anymore. I tell my interns coming out of college, when you're going to a CATA, for those of you who don't know, that's the California Athletic Trainers Association's state symposium, or FWADA, which is Far West Region Symposium, make a business card.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the bar, meet some athletic trainers, give out your, because one of these days, they're going to hire you.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great place to make connections, get people to know you, and hey, they might pick you up.
Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times I obviously come across hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people every year, but I can't tell you how many times there'll be somebody like, oh yeah, you bought me a beer in the bar at FWADA that one time in Sacramento. There's a big group, like, you know, like that kind of thing. And so
it's kind of cool,
you know, or a lot of times it'll be, I met you in your booth, you know, when I was still in school, that kind of thing. And so I do the same. I go around and speak to the graduating, well, now the MSAT programs. I was just at Long Beach State a couple weeks ago, and I spent a lot of time talking to them about relationship building and trade show etiquette and all, and similar to what you touched on, but just circulate the room and talk to everybody. You never know when you'll need, you know, obviously I would love you to come and spend all your time at the Medco booth, but go to the Henry Schein booth, go to these other places, get to know them, exchange information, because at some point those people are going to be valuable to you, especially in your first job and you're trying to figure out how to do things. But build relationships. You know, it's always more fun to do business with somebody you like and have fun with, right? You know, kind of, you know, going to work every day with, you know, like you say, going to work, having fun, it's not work. And that's kind of what the beauty of this job is every single day I'll make contacts with somebody I haven't heard from in 6, 8, sometimes 2 years, you know, I'm like, oh my God, how you doing? And, you know, and then my next one could be somebody's right out of school and it's the first order they're ever doing. So it's kind of a nice variety of connections daily.
We had a guest a few weeks ago come on and say something that it's true. The old adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know. That's to a point correct, but he spun that a little bit. He said, it's not really who you know, it's who knows you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's just for a snippet, like you said, they came by, you bought them a beer at the CATA conference, or you met them and talked to them at a booth. The fact that they know you, they feel like they can trust you. You've built that relationship. You've built that foundation. So often the network starts that way. And as a clinician, you need a network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the fact that I'm an athletic trainer helps too, right? Because then I've worked the high school, clinical level, professional level. I've worked just about every space there is. So that helps too. And I'll tell a quick story. When I took over at Fullerton College, one thing that Bill did not teach me was how to order or really the budget, right? And so I'll just throw out a rough figure. My budget was, say, $18,000, which was really healthy back then. I send it out kind of to bid or to a couple of companies. It comes, and back then the district controlled everything. So I sent it out. It came back at like, I don't remember the exact number, but $11,000, let's call it. So, of course, what happens, the dean says, oh, clearly you don't need that much money, and the budget gets cut $6,000. So I will always tell an entry-level athletic trainer that's doing ordering, you know, shoot 20, 30% above what your budget is, and it's going to come down. Because it really saves a lot of back and forth on both parties, right? Otherwise, if they do what I did, it's going to come way down, and then they're going to keep going back one item at a time and adding up, and we're going to go back and forth 17 times till we hit their $2,000. So I really try and spend a lot of time talking about that too, that you can kind of count on a 20 to 30% discount for the most part. Some products are different, but some are more than that. Anyways, just to give them a ballpark, because usually we'll hit really close, right? We may need to take one or two things off or add one or two things, but it makes the process much more streamlined and smooth for everybody.
And that's one thing that you learn off experience. I mean, they teach a quote unquote about a budget at a clinical program, Master's of Science in Athletic Training, but you don't really understand till you go through the motion.
Correct.
Yeah. It's a process, and it's daunting when you've find out that, oh, okay, I ordered this, and wait, what happened next year? My budget's in half. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they don't do a real, I mean, I was talking to TK from Pacific at CATM, and I talked to his group in the fall, and he's like, wow, well, yeah, we don't ever really touch on any of that. It's kind of become so academic that the common sense part of it is not there, right? And so everywhere I go and talk, they're like, oh my God, I never thought of that stuff. And, you know, and then the questions they ask, and it's really one of the highlights of my year, every year when I do this, whether it's at Fullerton or Long Beach State, now I'll start doing it at Pacific, because it really is an eye-opening. And again, I try and teach them to go into the vendor hall and what to do and what questions to ask and all those kinds of things. Don't just walk up and take something off the table and walk away. Just go up and get to know, because the vendors can really help you in a pinch. You get that first job where you don't have enough money for a fanny pack. Well, lo and behold, wow, fanny pack could show up for me the next day and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's really important to learn that. I think when you and I went through it, it was a little different. When you're going back, you know, you had 4+ years of education and a lot of field experience in different locations, and you're a lot more into it. But now with this kind of accelerated program they're going through, that part kind of gets, you know, left out most of the time.
And just to give an idea, we went back a couple times to that school that has that $1,500 budget. And let's face it, every football coach wants his team taped. Well, you're going to go through potentially 30, 40 cases of tape for a football season. And we'll lowball the number, and you know this, $55 a case, which it was 20 years ago when I first started, right there, $55, 40 cases of tape to get through the year from when double days start through the last playoff game. That's $2,200. There's your entire budget. And when I say that to an intern as a preceptor, when they're coming out of Cal State Northridge or University of Laverne, where we're both preceptors for those locations, their jaw hits the ground. Wait a minute, I just blew everything on tape? Like, well, depends. That's up to you to figure out how you're going to do it now.
Yeah. And that's, again, I'll do a lot of that. You get that entry level that'll order, and I won't say the brand, but they'll order 15 cases of brand X at $85, $90 a case. And I'll be like, are you sure this is right? I could get you into this brand for 2 cases for what you're going to pay for one. And, oh, well, you know, I use that in my undergrad. Or, okay, well, that's fine, but
that's great.
It's going to go really quick, and you're probably going to need to start looking at alternatives. And like I said, I have no problem we'll fill it however, but I try and always be very coachable with the new ones, just because, you know, they always want to order the top of the line stuff, which is great, but it doesn't always fit into the budget very well.
So what you're saying is you're still educating a little bit.
I try. Yeah. I really do. And that's actually part of the fun part of the job, because a lot of times they, you know, people aren't even aware of something out there. This doesn't even go with the entry level athletic trainer. I mean, it could be you and I, and I'd be like, hey, Eli, you should maybe try this. Like, I'm telling you, you're going to get just as much bang for the buck out of this as what you're getting. So that's kind of that, you know, when you're doing as long as I have, and I think we're just shy of 20,000 SKUs right now at Medco. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. We pretty much have just about anything and everything you could ever imagine. So, and athletic trainers are so creative with the way they do things, and we've got quite the portfolio.
elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown. Well, the one thing you had at the last conference that I really liked was that athletic edge. The mat. Squishy mat. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, I'm getting one of those bad boys. That was comfortable to stand on.
Yeah, yeah. Those are pretty cool. To put, you know, imagine putting that in front of a taping station or where you're doing all your rehabs. And
oh, yeah.
It was, and you can put your, throw your logo on there and stuff like that. Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yeah, we've come a long way with equipment over the years. Mm-hmm. That's for darn sure.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, there's even now, I think it's, KT tape has these blister pads, and it's basically pre-cut moleskin patches where, you know, we're used to cutting and getting it the right size, but you know, it's already all pre-cut. So whether they're going around a toe or a heel, or it's just, you just pull off the back and
plug and play. Wow.
And it's
what a concept.
And coming from KT tape, the adhesion on it's really, really good. So you don't really need to use any additional spray. And it's like, yeah, you almost can do this job without a pair of scissors anymore, which is kind of scary.
Whoa, wait a minute. Let's not go there. I don't know about that. Now, I got to go back a little bit in history and ask something about your background here. Mm-hmm. Athletic training assistant for the Los Angeles Rams, 1992 through 1994.
Yeah.
What happened there? How'd you get in that?
Well, while I was in school, and again, this goes, you know, Bill was a very well-connected guy. So my sophomore, junior year of high school, I did a training camp internship with the Chargers. That's obviously, they were still in San Diego. We did it at University of San Diego in La Jolla. So I kind of got my feet wet in the pro football world a little bit. Came back, worked with Bill. My senior year, I was, you know, was going to go to grad school. And again, Bill worked. I had been accepted to the University of Arkansas as a GA. I was graduating in December of 93. They were going to accept me in January of 95. So I essentially had a whole year of being graduated till I was going to go to grad school. So I said to Bill, well, so I write a letter. Bill calls the Rams and says, I said, maybe I should do another training camp this summer just to keep my, okay. So he makes a phone call. It was kind of a no-brainer with Bill making the phone call and my experience. So I went, got a job at a TGI Fridays and was kind of going around Fullerton College and keeping my skills up a little bit. And then the Rams, I think it was like early April, they said, hey, would you be willing to do this job full time for the season? The guy they had was going to PA school. So I said, sure. So I turned in my stripes at Fridays and
see ya.
Showed up a week later with the Rams, and it ended up being about a 10-month position. Lo and behold, I said, well, I'm not really sure I want to leave this to go back to grad school. So I came back and did a second year with the Rams. And then that's when they up and moved away. Initially, I was all set to go. I'd actually even gone back and looked at apartments and everything. And then when the guy who owns them now, Stan Kroenke, I can never say his name. He owned like 10 or 20% of the team to move them to Missouri.
Yep.
Part of the deal was they needed to have somebody with Missouri ties in every department. So he was the third man in athletic training. So whether it's video equipment, athletic training, scouting, everybody had to have somebody with Missouri ties in. And back then the NFL staffs were two full times in a season long, not like today where most of these staffs have 6-7 full times, 2 PT. And so it was a lot different. So the good part was I got just an enormous amount of hands-on experience in 2 years, and the rosters were 85 and everybody was mandatory taping. But anyways, that's kind of how I did that. So it was a great experience. The team was not very good. It was the last 2 years they were here in Southern California, but I still have so many near and dear friends, whether it's players, coaches, things that I keep in contact with daily. And I think sometimes being such a small staff, we were so close to the players and stuff because you had your same 20, 25 guys you taped and dealt with every single day for 8 months. So yeah, that's kind of how that. And it was a unique experience too. 1 year we did training camp at UC Irvine. Another year we did training camp at Cal State Fullerton, which is where I went to school. So that was kind of cool to do the local. And then we played our games at Anaheim Stadium.
Yeah, I remember. I was a born and bred a Rams fan until they moved to Anaheim, and that slightly broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when they picked up and went to Missouri, oh God, yeah. They just trampled on my heart then. I'll
then they won a Super
that.
And then they go back there and what, two, three years later win a Super Bowl. I
guess. Yeah.
Could have been that was Super Bowl ring, but oh well.
That hurt. It's taken me a while to get back to them when they came to LA, but they finally got me back.
Yeah.
As you said, winning a Super Bowl helps, and my wife dragging me to that game, that was fun. Yeah, that's a hell of an experience you had. That's really cool. And again, back to your mentor, Bill mm-hmm. Chambers.
Yeah,
what a guy.
Yeah, it really does. Back to Bill told me when I came on board. You know, he goes, "You give me 4 hard years, I'll take care of you." And there couldn't have been anything further from the truth. You know, I mean, it was like literally even with grad school, the 2 or 3 schools he had connections at back then, Arkansas, that's when they were a perennial basketball powerhouse. They were
top
4, 5, 6 in basketball. And then Bill obviously went to University of Oklahoma. So that's where he wanted me to go, but I couldn't get in there for like their program was like 2, 3 years down the road. So otherwise I probably would have ended up because my family's from Oklahoma, but yeah, but you're right. It goes back to relationships and doing the right thing and being supportive and, you know, doing things the right way. And, you know, usually good things happen. So
good things happen to good people.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sooner or later, it all works out.
Yeah, for sure.
With what you're doing nowadays and how you've grown over the decades, what are the most rewarding and challenging aspects of your current role in medical sales?
The most challenging is kind of what we alluded to, right? Is especially coming out of COVID, budgets are not any larger.
COVID really killed so many industries. I mean, I hate to say it. It changed the game, not just the world.
Yeah. So, you know, if you think about, let's just look in Southern California. In California, we were shut down for so long. So there's kind of an influx of money. And so I sold a lot of AEDs and ice machines and big equipment because these athletic departments had these funds that had to be spent, right? Athletics resume, and here it was funky times, right? Baseball season starting in November and basketball. Oh, and it was crazy, as you know, better than anybody. And so, but my point is it really not even California, is the budgets never really got back to where they were pre-COVID. And if you look at today, the cost of goods is anywhere, let's say 10 to 20% higher than they were pre-COVID, in some places more than that. So you have that $1,800 high school budget that's still $1,800, but the cost of goods is $2,800, right? And so that's the challenge of trying to make the most out of nothing. And it's really heartbreaking when I get that call 5 weeks into football season and they don't even have enough tape to finish taping. And the AD says, sorry. And so that part's hard, right? It's hard to... because I feel that pain. I've never really truly been in that kind of an environment, but that athletic trainer is just trying to do the best they can because that's the way we do things. And they're basically being told no. So that's the hard part, right? Is that the other hard part would be you build a relationship, and they maybe take their business someplace else, or you've gotten their business all along and you look at a report and you don't, and you call them, oh, well, so-and-so was cheaper. So it's like, oh, well, you should let me know. So those are probably the frustrating parts of the business, right? Is that the rewarding is really just the opposite, that it's so fun to, every day is different at this job. I mean, every single day I couldn't script any of it, part of it. And that's fun, right? It kind of keeps you on your toes and keeps you motivated to do it.
Like the field of athletic training.
Because every, you know, I hear from good old friend every hour. I hear from somebody I've never met. It could be the person's the biggest pain in the rear end. Whatever it is, every day is fun and unique. So that's the part I really like. And I love to build relationships, right? So I enjoy to talk to somebody that I know a little bit about, and I can get to know a little bit more and more and more. And I'm telling you, once it becomes personal, it's hard for them not to buy from you, right? And they, you know, even if the price is a dollar more at the end of the day, that it's that dollar is kind of irrelevant when they know they can trust I'm going to do the right thing, get them the right product on time, all that kind of stuff. So
they're buying the relationship. That's really what they're doing.
I always tell everybody, like, if you take a case of tape and you shop it around for a week, you're going to get 10 different prices on it, right? Not only in our industry, you can go to Amazon now, you go to all these other places, Big Five, whatever, and But at the end of the day, like, you just wasted 5 hours of your day to save 60 cents. Is it really worth it?
So true.
And I try and really instill that in people. Like, and I'm dealing with a scenario right now where the community college down in San Diego has a Gatorade cooler that's cracked and beat up. Well, they came to us, we were doing all this stuff. Well, they didn't even buy it from us. Like, we don't even have a Gatorade. So like, I went back to him, like, this is kind of an example why, you know, it's easier to do business with a single vendor. And when something like this happens, you know where to go. So
you know where to go, who can help you, who can fix it, who can tell you where to go to take care of it.
Yeah. Definitely. And I mean, I'm still helping them. I've got emails to Gatorade and all this, that, and the other. But so those are the kinds of things that at the end of the day, the rewarding part is helping that entry level AT out that was like, geez, Dave, you really, really saved me. I appreciate what you did, because they had no idea what to do. Right. Or I'll see them ordering so many times, you know, they'll have a real recipe'd way to order. I'm like, you don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need that. You don't trust me. Just trust me. You don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need that. You're going to need two of these. And then they're always like, oh my God, you were so right. Thank you. So that's kind of the reward. And that's kind of the rewarding part, you know, or you get the phone call. Hey, I have this, and this going on. What's everybody else using for it? And I can say, oh, Eli does it this way. So, you know, and then I mean, it's probably a product they had no idea even existed, but I was able to kind of help them be a better athletic trainer that day based on my knowledge of product and who I talk to daily.
And it goes back to what you were trained to do, help others.
Mm-hmm.
You're still helping others, just in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
What advice would you give somebody, say, in my situation, been in athletic training either for a couple of years or a couple of decades, and starting to think about transitioning from clinical to sales? What kind of advice would you give them?
And this happens almost daily. You know, we've had a stable sales staff now for like 3 years, but the last five reps I've hired them, and a couple have been athletic trainers. So the first thing always is, you have to be ready to leave the profession, right? I always say you have to be 100% ready to get out, because so many of them think, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm still going to do some PRN work on the side. That's usually not the way it works. Like, you get into this job when you're new, it consumes you, and it takes a long time to build the old Rolodex up. You're not like it's now, if you're onboarded and you've got two tournaments that you got to finish off, great. But really long term, you can't think that you're going to be able to do both. It's just not going to work. So you really have to be committed to walking away, because I think once you walk away, it's really hard to walk back into it. And you're not going to walk back into your athletic training career in the same status environment that you walked away from. That's kind of the first thing I always, let's be realistic. It takes a lot to become an athletic trainer, right? A lot of dedication and hard work and studies and test taking and all those things, right? And so it's hard. It was the hardest decision I ever made to walk away. I was groomed for this absolute dream position that I could be retiring at in a few years. So it's a big decision. The second thing is I always say athletic trainers are great multitaskers, really good communication, people's people, all those things. And so you've got to be able to bring those skills over to sales, right? And I think that now we have a sales staff that's about half and half athletic trainers, not, and they both are doing very successful. I think the athletic trainers have an easier runway to success, again, because we know the product, we know the time of day to knock on the door. We're not going to show up in August as you're taping 75 football players to get them on the field. We know the best time. So there's a lot of tricks of the trade that an athletic trainer knows that the non-athletic trainer has to learn that piece or we're trying to help them with. So, but that's the kind of the key is, and the ones, you know, like I said, that we've had both be very successful. I can't think of any that have come over an athletic train. They may not still be with Medco, but they're doing something else in the medical space. They did not go back into athletic training. It's a different life in the sense of, yeah, we do really fun things and cool things, but we're kind of on call 24/7. There's not really, other than maybe a week around Christmas time, there's not really a time where we're not. Somebody's always in need of something. There's always a season starting. There's always extra funds to be spent. You know, I cover the Warriors, and I can't tell you how many times I could be watching a game on a Thursday night see Steph Curry get blasted in the shoulder, and my phone rings at 7:30 the next morning, and they need a game ready wrap overnighted to Philadelphia. So it's always, there's always, always, always something to be done. And sometimes that's as challenging as athletic training is, right? And we know athletic trainers are overworked and underpaid. For the most part, when you go home at night, you're off duty. Not always, but this job, no, you're getting hit up all the time. So it's a different mindset. Some of our athletic trainers come over and they're used to having spring break off. Well, that you don't get spring break off in sales. You don't get 2 weeks at Christmas off in sales. So you just kind of have to be very clear and really honest with the lifestyle. Now we have the ability to midday. I usually will go midday and go exercise, you know, so that part's nice. But I'll work into the evening, and I'm usually on my computer by 6:30 in the morning. So you just kind of learn to work what works best for you. But that's kind of the words of advice, is you just have to, they have to have a very clear understanding of what they're getting into, because I think there's a perception, oh, I'm done with this career, I'm going to go into sales for a while. And that's a big, big mistake. If you think this is your turn down job, getting close to retirement, you won't succeed a month.
Yeah. It takes a lot of energy to be in sales, let alone mm-hmm. in medical sales when, mm-hmm. like you said, round the clock, nonstop, somebody mm-hmm. needs something. Mm-hmm. You're on call.
Yeah. It's that, and that's the part that's challenging on marriages and kids and things, because it's literally all the time. And yep. now you get hit up on Facebook Messenger and social media and text and phone call and email. Like there's sometimes 6-7 ways in a day I'll get hit up on, you know, like somebody doesn't have my personal information, but I'm friends with them on Instagram, so they'll message me there. Oh my gosh, here's my email. So it's that's a whole nother layer of it, you know, is the way of access to you is nonstop.
I know earlier you did a little shout out to your son, but you got another one.
Yeah. My daughter Delaney is graduating from Colorado State in May and coming back.
Oh my God.
And we're going to teach elementary school. So yeah.
Good for her.
And again, the athletic training staff up there is near and dear to me. Every time I go up, I drag her in. She knows the 3 or 4 main folks there. And so it's nice at both schools, my kids have people that, you know, in a pinch or a bind, I know I can make a phone call and they needed a ride to Target or something like that. You know, they're Terry at Colorado State and the folks at Arizona. So that part's been cool too. Now, you know, she's not real interested in, I don't think she would ever pop in over there if she needed something, but my son has certainly hit up the staff at UOA for a ticket to something, or he's not afraid to ask. But yeah, it's been really fun. Yeah. So I bring her home a couple months and I'm kind of sad because I 2-4 times a year, I end up there and I can go in and see the athletic training staff. So, but yeah, both kids are doing really well.
Congratulations. That's very, and it's been fun watching them grow up on, yeah. I mean, let's face it. That's one thing Facebook and Instagram have agreed on.
So great.
Keeping up and seeing how they're going. But I didn't realize she's already been there for
years. I took her at the Rocky Mountain meeting a couple of years ago. It was in Denver. And so she came down, and then they do a cornhole tournament for their like social event. So I she was my teammate. And I can't tell how many people come by. I'm like, they know her by name. They're like, I've been watching you grow up for 10, 12 years. And you know, she's like, yeah, how do all these people know me? And I'm like, it's just, they've been watching pictures of you forever. Yep. You know? So it's kind of cool. You know, that part, like you said, that's one of the great parts of social media is seeing families and activities. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Well, you got a busy day ahead of you. One last question, and it's really just a little philosophical. If you could give yourself a little bit of advice, if you can go back and look at yourself back in the Bill Chambers days and knowing what you know from then till now, what's something you would give yourself advice about moving forward in your career? I know that's always the tough one right there.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough question. I don't know. I guess I feel like I've done a pretty good job of instilling what was instilled in me through Bill, right? And that was get to know everybody. You can't know enough people. And I try and instill that in our young sales reps, right? Is kind of goes back to what we said with trade show etiquette. I mean, get in there, get to know people at all levels, right? And I probably the thing that I would have done differently early on would be not focus so much on the heavy hitters and really put myself at the grassroots of the profession, because I think the grassroots of the profession is really where you get the most reward and bring the most value. And that's the part where I think early on your eyes are wide open and I want to run to all the pro teams and to UCLA and USC, and go to all those big places that you see on TV every week. When in reality, I get more gratification going to the six high schools or small colleges down the street. So I think if I had it to do all over again, that's probably an area that I would do differently, because a lot of the higher levels, they're very ingrained on how they do things. And we get a lot of it, and some of it goes to a competitor or we share it or whatever. And sometimes you're not going to really make a difference there, but you're going to make a big difference at so many of these other places. So that's probably what I would do differently. And I can assure you, because I'm, you know, a manager at Medco, I instill that in our people all the time. Don't always focus on the Power Five schools. Get to those NAI schools, those small colleges, those D2, D3s, high schools, things like that, because you usually will get much more reward out of that than the Power Fives.
So you'll make a better difference, or a bigger difference, I should say, at those other institutions.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, you know, a lot of my closest relationships are those heavy hitters, that because it's just a different vibe and you're with them at so many shows and meetings. But yes, I think you make a difference in their life and in your own life at those other places, just because they value what you're doing for them so much more. Again, every vendor, well, I'll use University of Utah, for example. There's Westminster College is like literally on the same road that you go up to at University of Utah. And I can't tell you how many times I've been to University of Utah before I ever stopped at Westminster. And he gets real salty because he knows every vendor, every single big company vendor drives by his school essentially to get to University of Utah and then leaves, and they don't stop and see him. And this time I did. And now you have a customer for life, right? Because I stopped in there and saw him and let him yell at me a little bit for never coming. But that's my point is, you know, everybody goes up the hill to the big person, and they've driven by seven things below that to get there. And those seven below that, they don't forget that. So that's kind of why I always say, hit those two, make a point. If you're going to go there, hit those other ones, and it'll really pay dividends for you. I mean, that's just, you know, the Lakers can pick the phone up and get whatever they want within an hour, right? But 99% of our profession can't do that. So
amen, amen.
You make a much bigger difference, you know, every other place.
And I love how you say 99% of our profession. Mm-hmm. Still in the athletic training mindset. I like that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
Always will be. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't argue that. Even after retirement, I'll still be in that damn mindset. Yeah. I know it. Anyway, Dave, this has been a blast. I appreciate it. We blew through an hour so quickly. Always fun to talk with you and catch up. I appreciate your time. I know it's busy time of year and you're getting ready for other trade shows and other events everywhere, but we really appreciate you being on the podcast today and sharing your knowledge and hopefully having some people listen and learn. So yeah. Thank you very much, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you, Eli and Gabriel. And I look forward to hearing from you guys again soon. Take care.
Have a good one. Have a great day.
You too.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.